And we're back. It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center here in Knoxville, Tennessee. So glad that you're listening. Hope you're enjoying your day. Hope you had a nice long weekend. Memorial Day kind of gets lost in the shuffle, at least what the meaning is supposed to be, because we enjoy the long weekend. Some people take Friday off, and then they have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we have cookouts, and we have people over to the house, which is what we did. And you may swim or go to the lake or anything like that. But I hope at some point during that you took time to pray for the families that have lost loved ones throughout the years to war and just because they served this country. So it's always a interesting time because we take advantage and take the opportunity every chance we get in this country to celebrate and have holiday. And so I just hope that you took some time to pray for the families that really look at Memorial Day as a time of mourning. And so we watched a video on church at church on Sunday that was just really, really difficult to watch. And the premise of the video was a young girl who wrote a letter to her dad because he left to war. And she continued to write letters. He never came back. And she continued to write letters to him. And just was really a heart-wrenching video. And it makes you think. So I hope you took time out to celebrate those that have gone before us to allow us to have the freedoms that we do have. So again, thank you for joining us. Just to kind of to get in, if maybe you're a new listener today, what we do here is every single week we talk about life. We talk about Hope Resource Center. We do that a number of different ways. The pro-life movement as a whole has a lot of different avenues to get involved. So you have the political side, which is why last week we sat down with Representative Jason Zachary, and we talked about the politics and the political side of abortion and life. But it also has the pregnancy center, the medical clinic side, which is what we do at Hope Resource Center every single day, is we love and serve the men and women of this community, and we provide them free pregnancy tests and free ultrasounds and free parenting classes, free STD testing and treatment, free mentoring, free baby showers if they've gone through the classes and everything. So you have so many different areas that you can talk about when you talk about the life issue. And today what I want to do is I want to focus on a theme. You know, periodically we will just do that and we'll spend the entire hour on one theme. And today's theme is going to be simply, what matters? You know, and if you know anything about Hope and you've heard me speak about Hope, and if you've seen our shirts, you know our answer to that is life matters. But I want to go deeper than that. Truly, what does matter? What matters to you? What do you hold dear? What do you cherish? Have you ever given thought to that? What when you sit by yourself and you allow yourself to just think, what do you hold dear? Is it family? Is it your stuff? Is it your work? Is it your kids? Is it your mom? Is it your dad? Is it your granddad? Is it your grandma? Maybe it's an animal. What is it that you hold? Maybe it's your faith. What is it that you hold dear and that you cherish? These questions deserve our answers. These questions deserve our thoughts, because we must sit back at some point and go, okay, in my life, what do I cherish? What do I hold dear? What truly matters to me? So I'm afraid that our society doesn't really do this enough. We don't focus on this enough. We really struggle to know what truly matters. We fail to recognize the newness around us. As I've discussed before, we get lost in the ministry while life passes by. We get lost not just in ministry. I don't want to act like ministry is a bad thing, but we sometimes get lost in the everyday goings on that even the good things we turn into kind of blah, nothing to really get involved in. So we get lost in that while life passes by. So today I could talk about a number of things. You know, I could talk about the abortion law that we discussed last week in Oklahoma. I could talk about Miley Cyrus and her new partnership with the largest abortion provider in the country. I could dive into the bathroom debate. We could continue that from last week, which I'm not going to do. But what I want to do is talk about what my son has reminded me here recently. My son is 5 years old, and my son has changed my focus with his simple but meaningful prayer that he prayed just the other night. And I would like to tell you that I pray with my kids every night, but that would be a lie. We attempt to pray every night and are successful about half the time. But the other night was one of those successful nights. And I would also like to tell you that I initiated this family prayer time. But again, that would be a lie. The reality and truth is that my two-year-old daughter, who is now three, she turned three yesterday. I got to get used to her. She actually turned three on the 29th. So I got to get used to saying that she's now 3 years old. The reality is that she looked at me and said, "Daddy, will you pray?" And of course, as a father, the only appropriate answer is in the affirmative. So I prayed for our family, friends, and I praised God for the blessings provided to us. This prayer, though, prompted my son, Gavin, to have his own conversation with the author of life. This is when things changed for me. I listened as Gavin dug deep as a five-year-old can, and reached out in thanksgiving to the Lord. The part of his prayer that struck me was when he said, "Thank you, God, for moms, dads, and babies." Now, this is a very simple yet profound thought. And this is the pro-life movement in a nutshell. We are pro-every life. This stance, as I've said many times, does not stop at the womb. And I can't help but think about the impact we could have on this society and its narrative if we all would follow my five-year-old's lead and pray for moms, dads, and babies. I love the innocence of a child. They haven't had time to be jaded or maligned by the world. They see things in very simple and literal terms. They understand what we sometimes fail to grasp because we see life through a distorted lens. The heart of my son was on display the other night. He, at some level, understands and appreciates the roles his mom, dad, and baby sister plays in his life. He couldn't articulate the pro-life mission statement or give you a detailed account of its history, but he does appreciate the value of life. Now, granted, in our home, we talk about life. He knows what I do for a living. He knows what we do every single day at Hope Resource Center. So that is constantly being discussed, but what you see here is a five-year-old taking that in and then putting that in his prayers and putting that to work. He sees the newness of creation all around him. He is mesmerized by a plane in the sky, a frog in the pool, a worm in the dirt, and a well-built truck. Because in the Woodhouse, trucks matter, and we love our trucks. But our distorted lens at times will not allow us to appreciate the newness of creation. We fail to recognize that frog, worm, or plane. We are too busy to fool with childish things. We are too old to get lost in the newness. And this is a very sad truth. Have you ever thought about the difference this could make in our society, homes, or workplaces? If we would just take time to appreciate the newness of creation. Do you appreciate the soft cry of a newborn, the beautiful glow of a mother-to-be, or the joyful tears of a man that just found out he will soon be a dad? You see, this is what I learned from my son last night. I fail to recognize the newness. I get frustrated when Gavin interrupts my important work to show me the splendor of a jet in the clear blue sky. I get lost in my world, while Gavin gets lost in God's world. Now, I'm not arguing to sit under the teaching of your kids. My five-year-old can enlighten me at times, but he also struggles to control his emotions, wipe his own bottom, or give himself a bath. I am, however, encouraging you to be open to the newness. Embrace the creation around you and let it point you to the Creator above. Allowing this to creep into our lives will go a long way in seeing that heart change we so desire in society. So pray today for moms, dads, and babies. And remember that we all were once that baby or that five-year-old that enjoyed getting lost in the newness around us. A newness that can only point us to a greater, simple, and profound truth that every human life at every age has intrinsic value. And that's a truth worth sharing and celebrating. So do you struggle with this? Do you struggle with seeing the newness around you? Do you lose sight of what is important? And I think we all do at some level. I still struggle, even though I hear my son say those things, I still struggle with that. Because how many planes have I seen fly through the clear blue sky? Hundreds, thousands at this point in my life? How many worms have I seen? How many frogs have I seen? But every single one for my 5-year-old is like the first time he's seen it. He hears an airplane and he loses his mind in excitement. He sees a frog and he loses his mind in excitement. He sees his baby sister who is going on 6 months and he loses his mind in excitement. Why? Because he appreciates. He's living in the newness that is around him. He'll go to church and around Mother's Day they planted little flowers to give to the moms. He's so excited to watch that flower grow and to water it and to see the growth that comes from that. Again, the newness of creation. He appreciates that. And one thing that we need to understand are kids are really good about pointing out our flaws. Gavin's really good at telling me to put my phone down and pay attention. But they're also really good at recognizing intrinsic value. Why do you think my son at 5 years old says, "God, please be with moms, dads, and babies"? It's because he recognizes the intrinsic value of life and the importance of life. So if a 5-year-old can do that, why can't we do that? So we need to hold that dear and cherish that truth, and certainly never get too old to appreciate the gift of life and creation. There's a song by George Strait called "I Saw God Today." Now, theologically, it's probably a country song, so they get their theology a little mixed up a lot of times. But the whole point of the song is, the person that wrote it is walking around the town, and he is everywhere he looks, he sees God, is what he's saying. So he's not one of those that are like, "Oh, the tree is God, and we're going to worship a tree." He's not saying that. He's saying, "I see a flower growing. I saw God today because God made that flower grow. I see a baby born. I'm celebrating God because God made that baby." And I think what we do is we just continue to walk in our lives, and we don't recognize the newness that is around us. So what we do is we then forget about the things that matter. We put our focus on things that really don't have intrinsic value. We put our focus on things that ultimately are going to fail us and crumble and go away. So what we're going to do when we come back is continue the thought of what matters to you. And we're going to talk about life, and we're going to talk about a number of things today, but we're going to stick with the theme, what matters. We'll be back in a sec. We're back. This is Andrew Wood. Thanks so much for listening. What we're doing today is we're talking about what matters. So what matters to you? Hopefully you've given that some thought at some point, but truly think about what matters to you. So that's what we're going to do the rest of the show. But, you know, again, the answer to this for us is certainly what matters is, well, life matters. But that doesn't mean that, well, my spouse doesn't matter, or my kids don't matter, or that your job doesn't matter. No, all these things certainly matter. But what ultimately is driving you? What ultimately gets you up in the morning? These are things that we should think about. You know, I know so many people that get up in the morning, but they have no drive. They have no desire to go to their job. They have no desire to do anything. They just wake up because that's what happens when the sun comes up. But what is driving you? And if nothing is, then you need to find something. Find something that drives you and motivates you to stand and get involved, to make a difference in the community that the Lord has put you in. So I spend a great deal of my time watching, reading, and observing the news. I desire to know what is going on around me. This desire is not prejudice, as it includes sports, pop culture, politics, science, and really anything my kids wish to watch on Netflix. I'm becoming an expert in Phineas and Ferb, and a lot of any animal show. My son loves fishing, and so any animal show that we can find on Netflix, we watch. I'm becoming, I want to learn. I desire to know more really more than my 5-year-old does about these things. So we need to have that desire. This desire is housed, though, in a desire to have some type of understanding of a great many things, so that I can have discussions with a great many people. Some may argue that this is due to my love of a good debate or argument, and that certainly is part of it. But this is also due to my love for conversation and my uncomfortableness with silence. Now, I realize that's a problem I need to deal with, but I don't like silence. I like to talk. I like other people to talk. And so I really don't like to sit in silence, but sometimes it certainly is needed. This desire to obtain and ingest the news, however, tends to deflect my attention away from things right in front of me, from things that matter. I seek to win debates or to have conversations on broad topics at the expense of the goings-on right here and right now. This goes back to what I was just talking about in the first segment, in the newness of creation. Now, I'm not going to regurgitate that point here, but it is important that I do not get so lost in the idea of debate that we neglect the actual fruits of the debate's labor. And I was hit with this truth over the past weekend when we received a note from a former patient. This patient faced the crisis pregnancy not too long ago and found her way to Hope. And since visiting Hope, our clinic, she has made a family, moved cities, and started her career as a photographer. The picture heading that you'll see tomorrow when I post it, I'm going to post it online for you to see it. Just go to investinghope.com/blog. You'll be able to see the picture. And it's going to head that, and that is her son. The picture that we're going to post is her son wearing a onesie with Hope written across it. Now, I'd like to thank my mom, who made those onesies and is continuing to make them. And it's amazing that my mom, someone 4 hours away from Knoxville, is making an impact on young moms here in Knoxville, just simply by making and embroidering a onesie for them. But this former patient also sent us a note, and here's what the note said. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without you and all the staff at Hope, I can honestly say, I don't think we would have this little guy today. And more importantly, I don't think Samuel and I would have become a family. You guys gave us hope, taught us so much, and supported us when we had none. You gave us resources that made it possible for us to keep this little guy, and for that I will forever be grateful. He is our hope baby, and you guys will always be a part of his story. Thank you for loving us and giving us hope. Now, I share this with you today because I want you to see the difference you are making in the lives of so many. We tend to get lost in the pro-life argument. We find our focus on the very steep uphill climb on this very important issue. Oftentimes, we do this at the expense of the amazing wins happening right in front of us. We lose sight of the glorious opportunities we have because we would rather argue or win some debate. Right now, as I'm reading this, there is an argument going on about the value of a 3-year-old child versus the value of a gorilla. Now, logic would say this argument is a silly one, but logic doesn't always win out in today's narrative. But I digress. We'll talk more about the gorilla and the 3-year-old next segment. My point here is a simple one. While we argue and focus on the negative, this patient found hope. This patient was not dealing with hypotheticals or debate illustrations. This patient was dealing with an unplanned pregnancy that would change the course of her life forever. As I was leaving Hope today, we had a patient come in, and I won't go into great detail because I can't, but let's just say that she's very young, and she found out that she's 5.5 months pregnant today. That's going to change the course of her life forever. That isn't a debate. That isn't a hypothetical. That is real life. And now her life is changed forever. This is what we do at Hope every single day. We seek to prove value to those that struggle to see that truth in their own lives or the lives of the child they are carrying. The goal here is not to win an argument. Instead, it is to love someone so much that you will tell them of their value. Since 1997, Hope has been blessed to be a part of a large number of life stories. This is an honor we will never take for granted. So please know I'm not suggesting that you disengage from the larger discussion, debate, or argument on life and abortion. We must continue to climb that steep hill in front of us. I will continue to encourage and assist in this arena. I am simply suggesting that today You take time during this engagement to recognize the wins, both large and small, in front of you. Recognize them because they are happening daily. Notes like the aforementioned should rejuvenate our movement. This is why we get up, engage, debate, and converse. We should be leading with these stories, real stories involving real people that found hope and family. I will debate with anyone on just about anything, but we fail when we see the debate as the goal or the what matters. The debate is a vehicle. Dialogue is a vehicle. The what matters is the stories of hope, the real lives being impacted, and the love that we are blessed to see. So as we think about truly what matters to us, we need to recognize these stories are real life people. When I come on here and I share a story, it isn't a hypothetical. I'm not saying, let's hypothetically say a teenager came in and they were found, they have a crisis pregnancy and they're struggling, and this person is addicted to drugs and they've had an abusive relationship. These are not hypotheticals that I'm bringing to you. To be honest, I wish that was what I had to do. I wish I had to make up stories to share the vision of hope, but I don't have to make up stories. Because every day we see patients that are struggling, every day we see patients that they don't really care about the pro-life, pro-choice movement. They don't care about our debates. They don't care about how much we know and how accurate we are and how good of a speaker we are. What they care about is the reality right in front of them. And the reality right in front of them is they are facing a crisis. And so what that does for someone like me who at times will suffer from opinion diarrhea, and who loves to debate and who loves to argue and who loves to have those deep conversations that no one wants to have and who loves to make people feel uncomfortable because I want to talk about religion and I want to talk about politics and I want to talk about things that no one wants to talk about. What these stories do is they show me what matters. And really what matters is not whether I can win a debate or not. What matters is, do I love someone enough to tell them that they have value? Even the one I'm debating with. That's what matters. Now, again, that doesn't mean we stop debating. It doesn't mean we stop being champions for the pro-life movement. We have to do that. But we also have to recognize that the stories and the illustrations that we give are not simple hypotheticals. They are real lives being impacted. Real lives that are seeing the course of their life be changed forever. And again, I've said it many, many times. Regardless if they choose life, adoption, or termination, their lives change forever. And so it isn't a game that we just try to win going against someone that disagrees with us. These are real lives being impacted. So we must recognize what matters. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a 3-year-old boy who fell into, a cage, not really a cage, but fell in a gorilla, grabbed a hold of him, and then the authorities at the zoo had to shoot the gorilla. We're going to talk about that and talk about value, talk about what matters, and discuss that in a logical and sensible way. We'll be back. There's two things I know for sure. She was sent here from heaven, and she's daddy's little girl. As I drop to my knees by her bed at night, she talks to Jesus. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. Yeah, I didn't really understand that song until I had daughters. And then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, now I get it. I have two daughters, and songs like that make you appreciate what dads go through with daughters. So definitely. So we're back, and what we're doing today is we're talking about what matters to you. What do you cherish? What do you hold dear? And so the last two segments, we kind of walk through looking at stories of hope, looking at what I've learned from my son in praying, and even a simple but yet profound truth that he sees in praying for moms, dads, and babies, and really cherishing life and cherishing the newness of creation. What I want to do now is, right now in our society, unless you've been under a rock, there is a story going on, happened in Cincinnati. A little boy, imagine this, got away from his parents, It happens, especially at 3 and 4 years old. They can get away from you quickly. A little boy somehow got away from his parents. He fell into an enclosure. That was the word I was looking for earlier. An enclosure where a gorilla was. Well, multiple gorillas, but one gorilla in particular, a 17-year-old gorilla. And so he fell into this enclosure. And then, of course, because in today's society, everyone has a phone that has a camera, so we have video of this whole ordeal. And so little boy falls into the enclosure. The gorilla walks over to him, kind of gets him up against the wall, then grabs his leg and drags him through what appears to be a moat. It's like a very shallow water. And so he drags this little boy, and it really like a rag doll. It's shocking how strong gorillas are. And then he seems to pick the little boy up, pull his pants up. I mean, that's what it seems to be. Obviously, the gorilla's not like, hey, let's get you, where you look okay. And then he is kind of protecting him in a way of he's just not letting him away from him. Now, some people are watching this and they're saying that, oh, the gorilla was protecting the little boy. Well, we can't possibly know what the gorilla was doing, but he then drags him more through the water and easily could have ripped this little boy limb from limb, could have drowned in the water. Ultimately, the zoo decided the best thing to do was to shoot the gorilla because they didn't want anything to happen to the little boy. So in logical terms, a boy that, you know, I grew up on a farm, and so there were times where we had to, shoot send your letters to the station, but we had to shoot or put down animals on the farm for various number of reasons. And so now if you're on Twitter, which is becoming a cesspool, but if you're on Twitter, you see a lot of people saying, how dare they shoot this gorilla? I even saw one person say, we really should have just let it play out and kind of survival of the fittest and just see who wins. And so you have a 3-year-old boy in a, 3,000-pound gorilla. I don't know how big they are, but he was massive. So some people are really saying the value of the gorilla is more than the value of a human life. Now, if you're a Bible-believing person, you know that humans were made in God's image. Animals were not. Humans have souls. Animals do not. Now, we love our animals. So I think sometimes as pro-lifers, we mess up because we go into this and we act as if we just hate animals. And we say, well, who gives a rip about this 17-year-old gorilla? I don't think that's the way to make the argument. I'm not arguing that I don't have a feeling for the gorilla. But what I am arguing is this 3-year-old has more value. And if my 3-year-old, if my 5-year-old, if my 6-month-old fell into an enclosure, I would expect anyone and everyone to do everything they could to make sure that my child was safe and do whatever it took. The life of the child must take priority. But as I said earlier, logic doesn't always win out in these scenarios. The disdain for human life is on clear display today. So what does this mean? This means we are moving to a very extreme place. Now again, I do not neglect the life of the 17-year-old gorilla. And I do believe that we as pro-lifers sometimes go overboard in acting as if that life doesn't have any kind of value. The part that I am struck by, though, is all these people are upset. Why are they not upset that there's a zoo? I mean, wouldn't that gorilla be better off somewhere else, not in an enclosure where he's supposed to live? Like, point your anger at that. That I can somewhat agree with, but not at having more value than this child. So the part that concerns me is so many people are willing to say openly that human life either has lesser value or equal value of a gorilla and a 3-year-old. It's not like a 50-year-old man wanted to be cute and jumped into this gorilla enclosure to fight this gorilla. This is a 3-year-old that fell in. Can we not all at least agree that a 3-year-old is going to make some poor decisions and going to stumble at times? My 3-year-old daughter falls all the time. There's no way I would let her walk anywhere near a gorilla because she falls. So it would absolutely it would not surprise me if I turned my head and she fell into an enclosure. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So attacking the mom of this child is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So we have to at some point understand that the life of a beast is not more important than the life of a human. Because I'm just going to let you know, a snake comes into my yard and threatens my kids, that snake will be killed. A dog comes in my yard and threatens my kids, excuse me, I'm going to protect my kids. An animal of any kind comes into my yard and threatens my kids, I'm going to do everything I can to protect my kids. We have flipped logic completely upside down in today's society. We are attacking the parents, the child, the staff, instead of simply celebrating that a boy had his life spared. Because this could have went a terrible way. And just for clarification, I think this is what people are failing to recognize as well. They're saying that, well, couldn't we have taken both lives into consideration? Excuse me. Had this gorilla harmed that little boy, maybe ripped a leg off, or worst case, killed that little boy, they would have immediately killed that gorilla. Immediately. And rightfully so. So it bothers me that in today's world, we are losing sight of what matters. The extreme activists could complain about the zoo, like I said earlier. They could complain that there's even a zoo, that these animals are in captivity. Now, is that a debate or an argument that should be had? Maybe. But we shouldn't be having a debate or argument about whether this child should have been saved. Because if you take this logic to its fullest extent, so now when a bank robbery happens, are we then going to say, well, don't do everything you can to get the hostages out? When there's a kidnap situation, are we going to say, well, don't do everything you can to free those that were kidnapped? At some point, we have to use logic and common sense to make these decisions. And a 3-year-old who could lose his life and be torn limb from limb, and if you watch the video, that was certainly possible. Now, some people are saying, well, he would have been fine if everyone would have just shut their mouths and not yelled and screamed. I'm sorry, a 3-year-old in an enclosure with a giant gorilla, that's going to make some want to yell for help. You know, especially the parents obviously were freaking out trying to get somebody's attention. And the zoo has a special unit that comes in and does what they believe needs to be done. Because their priority, again, is the life of the child. So what we find in our upside down world is it's the same thing that happened when that lion was shot in the hunt that happened sometime last year, and all the uproar. Folks, it's easy to love a gorilla. You know why? Because you can do that from the internet. That gorilla is not going to come to you and say, hey, I'm having some struggles. I'm in crisis. I need your help. It's easy to love animals and stand for quote unquote animal rights on Twitter and on social media and to create a page in honor of this gorilla and all of this. But it's really hard to love people because people fail us and people have struggles. And loving people is messy. But it's frustrating to me that now this family is going home and they're being questioned about their parenting skills. And now their kid is going to always be attached to this story. Well, it's your fault that a gorilla had to die. Instead of people going, praise the Lord you were spared. That could have went a lot worse. And this is just, again, it points to a bigger picture of the way we devalue human life all the time. We are devaluing human life more and more every single day, to a point where we raise the value of the beast over that value of human. Now, that doesn't make any sense. How many of the people that are arguing that they should have just let this play out then went home and ate a burger? Or went home and got a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A or somewhere else? Or they had on leather shoes? See, there's no logic in their argument. And that's all I'm asking for, is a little bit of logic, a little bit of common sense that says a 3-year-old life was spared. Thank God for that. We hate it had to come to the extreme of taking this gorilla out. But can we not at least agree that that was a better scenario than the little boy being murdered and then the gorilla ultimately being shot, because he would have been had he killed the little boy? So we need to understand and start focusing on what matters. And folks, it's a simple answer. Life matters. It has value. Human life takes priority. Why? Go read the Bible. Made in God's image. It's a pretty big deal. We'll be back in a sec. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up. And we're back. That's a good song. You were born for such a time as this. You know, if all of us would recognize, if all of us would recognize that this very moment we were put here, this very moment, right now, in this second, for a particular reason. If you would just look at your day that way. You know, I've said before that when I look at my kids, I say, out of all the people that ever walked the face of this earth, God chose me to be their dad. Think about that. Think about the amazing truth that holds. So if we then apply that to just our everyday lives, God chose me to get up at this time, to live at this place, and to do whatever this is right now. So if you're a mailman, then God said, this is what you're going to do right now in this season, in this moment. That's what you're going to do. So use that for His glory. I mean, it really will change the outlook of your day. And what it will do is it'll get us to the point of recognizing what matters in our life. See how I brought that back to the theme? The theme for today, what matters? And we've seen a number of different things, but what we need to understand is life, human life, intrinsically has value. Why? Because we were made in the image of God. That doesn't mean that some people are lousy. It doesn't mean that we enjoy to be around all people, because we know that isn't true. But what it does mean, even those that we don't enjoy, they intrinsically have value because they were made in the image of God. So they have value. They matter. Life matters. Life has value. Allow yourself for just a moment to be in the shoes of, or think back to when you were 5, when you were 6, when you appreciated the newness of the things around you. Because appreciating that newness then points you to the author of that newness. And that's who we need to be celebrating. And so at Hope Resource Center, we try to do that every day. And we're able to do that because of partners in this community and partners around this country. And one of those partners is Muscle Car Ministries. Muscle Car Ministries is a ministry that works around the state to bring people together in things that they have common interest in, which is Jesus and muscle cars, which is amazing. Because we assume that had muscle cars been around, Jesus would have enjoyed those. And so what this muscle car ministry, what they do is they have car shows periodically throughout the year. And every dollar that they raise at these car shows, they give to an organization. So they are all about partnering in what God is doing in this community. And so coming up this Saturday, at Mount Harmony, The Sharon Parrott Memorial Car Show is coming up this Saturday. Muscle Car Ministries will put it on. Sharon Parrott died a few years ago, and she spent her life pouring into young women. She spent her life helping people and loving people and sharing the gospel. And to honor her, her son has started this car show. And every dollar that they raise, they give to Hope Resource Center. And so last year we raised, somewhere between 14,000. And just because of a car show, over 200 cars showed up. They paid a registration fee. There's trophies, and the trophy they're having out this year, the Best in Show trophy, is absolutely amazing. You better have a giant trophy case or a giant something or another to put it on, because it weighs 20 pounds and it is unbelievable. I don't know if they want me to enter in my Nissan Armada. It's a 2005. I consider it a muscle vehicle, but they probably don't. But please come out and join us at Mount Harmony Baptist Church. And we'll be there from 8. Registration is from 8 to 10 a.m. And then the car show is all day long. We're praying for good weather, because it's all outside, obviously. So we're praying for good weather. But it's a great day of just, if you like cars, if you have young kids, bring them out. You'll hear cars start up, and some people let you get in their car. It's just it's a great night, or a great day to celebrate life and to celebrate cars, and that's a good combination. So we certainly thank Muscle Car Ministries. We thank them for standing with us and for standing for life and being bold in that stance. And so they're great people, and we look forward to that this Saturday. It'll be all day. Just come and join us. And again, all proceeds go to Hope. It's the Sharon Parrott Memorial Car Show at Mount Harmony Baptist Church. And it's going to be a great time, and we hope to see you out there. We hope to see, if you have a muscle car, bring it. We hope to see you and to meet you. I'll be out there all day. We have some other staff members that'll be out there all day. We'll have some Life Matters shirts out there that you can donate and receive those shirts. So it should be a great day. Of just fun and celebration of life and loud cars. And so that's always fun. I do want to make a note. I will be in here in the morning with Bob Bell. I'll be joining him at 7 a.m. A big announcement about my partnership and future plans with a radio station here in Knoxville is going to be fun. And so tune in 7 a.m. in the morning to the Bob Bell Show, and I will do my best to get up and be here at 7. It will be fun. Tune in tomorrow. We'll talk to you next week. Salvation's waiting.